Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan podcast. I thought on Tuesday, November 1st, I might give you a new intro. Can you believe it is November? I can't. But I'm so happy to be reading God's Word with you today. We're starting a new book, which is always super exciting to me. We're going to begin the book of Ruth. And then we're also going to be starting the Psalms again. And in this rotation through the Psalms, at least until we get to the Advent devotionals, I want to do something a little different. I want us to read from the New Living Translation, just to get another take on what these Psalms mean and how they read. And then we're moving over to Hebrews chapter 2. We're beginning this book of Hebrews as well. So a lot of beginnings in November. So thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. The title in my Bible says, Naomi loses her husband and sons. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Before we move on, I just want to give a little overview of what's happening here. First, let's talk about the placement of Ruth in the Bible. So if you're holding the Bible, you notice that Ruth is the book after Judges. And Ruth offers a contrast between the faithfulness of Ruth, a Gentile woman, versus the faithlessness of God's own people, the Israelites, who did what was right in their own eyes during the time of the judges. So I look forward to reading this book together with you. As always, the Bible Project video is a great resource that helps us understand the plot and the themes that are in Ruth. This resource gives us kind of a Cliff Notes version of the plot, and it reminds us of the importance of the first phrase of this book, that in the days the judges ruled. So that sets us up in history. There was this family, and Naomi was the matriarch of the family. And she and her husband and two sons went to the land of Moab because they were living in Bethlehem, but there was a famine during the days of the judges. So in the land of Moab, they were seeking out food and prosperity. And there, the two Israelite sons married Moabite women. One was Orpah and the other was Ruth. In the course of events, both the husband of Naomi and the two sons died. And Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, go back to your people. She was going to go back to Bethlehem, and she knew that it would be difficult for a Moabite woman in the land of Israel. And Orpah says reluctantly, okay, I'll go back to my parents. But Ruth shows extreme loyalty to her mother-in-law and says, where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. So it'll be interesting to see how the story develops tomorrow as we learn more about their trek back to the land of Israel. Okay, let's move on over to the Psalms now. As I mentioned, this time around in the Psalms, I'd like to give us a little bit different take on the Psalms. And so I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Psalm number 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. When I went home recently to South Carolina, I picked up a book called Psalms by the Day. It's a devotional translation of the Psalms by Alec Moyder. And each day he gives a pause for thought. And he talked about Psalm 1, and I want to read some of what he said. He says, Psalm 1:1 describes the blessed way of life. The individual lives by distinctive directives, distinctive principles, and distinctive settled convictions. So in other words, this person says, I'm not going to follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with the mockers. They're going to be distinctive. Another thing that he mentions is that the new life that is in Psalm 1 comes from the life-giving waters. Look at verse 3 again. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. I want you to think about the river of life, our Lord Jesus. And as we plant ourselves beside him, and we are intentionally drawing from the river of life, this changes our perspective, and it makes us distinctive. Another thing that he mentioned was the joy of delighting in and pondering the Lord's teaching. Verse 2, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. And Lord, we just pray that that's what we would be doing together here at Project 119. And now let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Today we're in Hebrews chapter 2, but it's kind of herky-jerky, the start. So I want to make sure you know where we are in context. In yesterday's reading, we were reminded that Jesus is superior to the angels. And in fact, the theme of Hebrews is that Jesus is better than all things. And so in the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to hear about this divine evidence of Jesus being better, the great salvation that comes from him. So be listening for the four supports of the idea that salvation comes through Jesus. It was declared by him, the apostles witness, it was confirmed by signs, and then finally the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the author of Hebrews goes into this discussion of the atoning death of Jesus, the importance of the fact that Jesus came to die on our behalf. And then finally, at the end of chapter 2, he talks about Jesus being the pioneer of salvation. And what I love about this passage is that Jesus completely identifies with us, his people, whom he came to save. Hebrews chapter 2, the title in my Bible says, "Warning to pay attention." We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. It is not to angels that he had subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him? You made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honor, and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, he says, "Here am I, and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives are held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he has been made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. One of the commentators on this passage in Hebrews said that the heart of this passage is chapter 2 and verse 17. So I want to read it for us again. "For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." Oftentimes when we are disgusted with someone, we say, "You just can't understand. You don't understand where I'm coming from. And I think that's such a powerful image for us, that Jesus Christ became flesh and he understands what it's like for us to struggle with all that is encompassed in this world, sin and death and temptation. I love also in this passage that Jesus says he's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He calls us his brethren. We are his family. And that is such a comfort to me. Finally, I love in verse 18, it says that because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is a great promise for us to take with us today. That God is with us in the midst of whatever temptation comes today. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters, even now, that when they are tempted, that the Lord Christ would stand beside them and would encourage them in the way that they should go. Bless them as they go through their day, Lord. Whatever happens, Lord, keep them. Make your face to shine upon them. And be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I look forward to reading with you tomorrow.